hang about. It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
There we go. Rusty start back, but we're here.
Not a show. It's not a show till you have the jingle. Was it a jingle?
I think it's a jingle. We call it a sting here.
All right, okay.
Fancy
well, I would have preferred if you'd actually sung a little song yourself, but that's all right. We'll take that kind of jingle.
Absolutely. Well, Ben needs to finish off on the song he was writing, but it's fine. Not bothered that he hasn't finished it. But
Sounds intriguing.
Absolutely. Now, we're just going to jump straight into it. First show back, we're talking about politicization of the police.
Oh, yeah, a little bit in-depth there. Not letting me off the hook, are you?
Oh, no. First day back, we go straight into the hard stuff. Now, I guess the main question here is, aren't the police always kind of inherently political?
I would hope not, because we really need our police to be scrupulously independent. Do you think they're political? I mean, that's our whole issue with what's happened with this guy whose home, was... what's the word? It's not broken into. What do you call it when the police come in? Was
a raid. I guess that's the word.
Entered.
Yes.
So you know, look, the bottom line for us, it's very easy. The police shouldn't be politicised by nature. They're about safety, about crime prevention, and certainly when it comes to abiding or making sure that citizens abide by the law, there shouldn't be politics. There should just be straight out abiding by the law.
Mm. But I guess when it comes to the police, they are a state-sanctioned kind of monopoly on violence, which is an inherently political thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't describe them like that, Laura. Mm. A monopoly on violence. I mean, sure, we need an entity, if I can call them that, to help us monitor and make sure that the law is adhered. And, you know, if we don't have law, then we have all sorts of issues, right? So we all agree on what the law is. That's what Parliament's for and making it and voting on it. Sometimes it gets sent out to the public for referendums and so on. And once you have it, you need someone to monitor and enforce what that law is. That's what the police do.
Mm. So I guess for some, this could kind of present a level of hypocrisy with the National Party when we saw last year the police squad based off of Strike Force Raptor. It seems to be quite a political action. How is this different?
Well, I guess because let's look at the two issues here. This guy who came up, he writes a blog, he submitted to the Select Committee, and he's had his home entered into. And then you've got gangs that are absolutely brazenly, publicly saying no way would they ever give up their guns, and they're just going to carry on as normal. And we're not seeing the kind of action taken on gangs that we would like and hope, especially when we know that their membership is up 26% over the last couple of years.
Mm.
So what are the priorities of the police? That's the bigger question. How come we've got this burgeoning gang issue and we're not seeing the same type of individualised action that we've just seen with this guy's house?
Well, from what was kind of described by the police on this action, this was off of his submission to government, where they believed he had illegally held a weapon. If there is someone suspected of committing a crime, do you not think police should be investigating and making sure the public is safe?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. When there's cause for that, that's fine.
But do you not think that him, within his submission, discussing having a weapon illegally is not cause for that?
Look, when it comes down to individual cases, you and I both know that the police have got to use their discretion.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're talking about is a much wider principle of where's their discretion to be more active about against gangs. Why, how, what comment would you make about the priorities of the police knowing that gang issues continue to be massive and growing, and we're not seeing media articles about gang arrests and being very specific about the fact that they've been very public, they won't give up their guns. This guy's house, he was entered into, they searched, they didn't find anything. I'd like to see a lot more press articles on searches in gang pads, but I'm not seeing them.
So I guess my last kind of question on the subject would be, under a national government, would we not have seen this kind of intervention?
Well, I guess, you know, we rely on police discretion, right? So it's very hard to say what will and won't happen in any future government that we're a part of, because we're certainly not, you know, morning by morning telling the police where they're going and what they're doing. But we will certainly, and you've mentioned Strike Force Raptor, we will certainly be giving police some very strong directives around where we want them to spend their time. Actual individual cases and homes, no, you know, it's not right for politicians to get to that level. But guidance and priorities, working with the police commissioner, expectation setting, absolutely, you'll find that we're going to be very strong about gangs.
Well, I'll shift on to our next subject here. The debate that has kind of sparked around minimum wage as of late. Some have been calling for a minimum wage as high as $25. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, we do like to see people's wages go up. You know, everyone wants high wages for workers, and it's the right thing to do. When we were the government, we increased the minimum wage every single year that we were in government. So point one, it's how you do it though, Laura. If you take it too far, too fast, what you're going to get is exactly what we've got right now. And when the minimum wage increases in April, the government's own government department, MB, has said that it's going to cost 17,000 jobs, and that there'll be, you know, a massive $125 million bill to help get those, you know, for those projected costs. So, you know, that's a lot of jobs and a lot of impact by something that could be treated. No one's saying don't increase wages. It's about how far you go and how fast. It can be a very delicate issue, and we're saying that this is going to be, well, actually, not just us, the government's department is also saying that this is going to cost jobs and money.
While National was in leadership, the minimum wage didn't seem to rise at the same rate at the cost of living. So we saw minimum wage rising about, on average, 3.5% over the 9 years, and the medium house, the cost of living rose 3.4%, and then the medium household income rose 3.9%. So that's according to Statistics New Zealand. That appears to present a problem. Would National, if it were in leadership, be focusing on addressing that discrepancy?
Well, what we'd be focusing on, Laura, is growing the economy, getting business confidence back in the place that it needs to be. Both of those things aren't happening. In fact, they're going backwards. So you can't, in isolation, talk about minimum wage increasing and people having jobs if the overall economy isn't doing well. So we're really clear about what we'll do to get to that growing economy. Some of it, you know, it's multi-layered, but one of it will be bringing targets back to the public service. This government scrapped so many targets, and so the public service is all over the place and spending's increasing. DHB debts are increasing. You know, it just, the list goes on. So if we are in government, we'll be very clear about getting the overall economic settings right. We've done it before, even when we had earthquakes and, you know, all sorts of natural disasters, and we'll do it again.
Do you see the importance of low-income households being able to invest and stimulate their local economies? And if all these households can't afford to spend outside of the basics, isn't that bad for local businesses?
Sure. Yeah, no, sure. So you're saying that It's the principle of people keeping as much of their own money as they can and spending local.
Mm.
Yeah, no, look, absolutely. I mean, that's core National Party principle, is that when you have gainful employment, you've got a salary coming in, we'd love you to keep as much as of your hard-earned cash as you can. That's why we have, over times and over election campaigns, talked about cutting taxes, because ultimately people should decide what they their priorities for their own house and for their own flat and for their own outcome and future, and it should be less government. Get out of the way, let people keep their money and decide for themselves their future.
I think we'll be running out of time here in just a second, so I'll end off on my final question, my first personal for the year. Are you excited for the 20s, and are you going to wear a flapper dress and pearls over the year?
Yes, I'm excited for the 20s. I'm going to throw this back at you. Should I be doing that, Laura?
Absolutely.
What would you recommend?
I think the first year of the 20s, anyone who can should throw a 20s-themed party and wear a flapper dress, including the guys.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Can you do the flapper dance? You know, I forget what you call it when your legs all like fly off to the side.
I used to do Irish dancing, so I don't think I can do that, but I can do something kind of similar.
Hang on, don't tell me that you had like the wig with the real tight ringlets in that.
No pictures.
Oh my goodness, you did.
I did it for a very, very short amount of time.
Okay, right. I wish radio was a bit more visual. We could have had a rendition, but never mind.
Absolutely not. I hope you have a good weekend, Denise.
You're blushing now, aren't you?
Absolutely. My face is red as anything.
Happy New Year to you guys. Congratulations on your first show. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, hon. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.